Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro with me, with you. We're live from the NovaCare Complex as the team's rookie camp wraps up. Should be over in a couple of minutes here. Eagles moving indoors today. Some inclement weather here in South Philadelphia after an absolutely beautiful Mother's Day weekend. Happy belated Mother's Day to all of you out there. And good times here at the NovaCare Complex. A five-practice mini camp wearing helmets and shells and shorts. Very instructional work for the players. 44 players here. 9 draft picks. 9 veterans, quote-unquote, who qualify for this camp. 14 players signed who were not drafted, and then another group of players who were invited for tryouts. The Eagles are at their roster limit of 90 players. As we take a look there at Todd Bowles, Eagles defensive backs coach, the new guy on the block, who is here to work with players like Brandon Boykin, who I thought looked really good. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I know I'm going to get a lot of questions, and I already have gotten a lot of questions, and I'm sure I will get a lot of questions. Well, will Fletcher Cox start? Hey, will Nick Foles be a player? Will Brandon Boykin beat out Jose Le... It's so early. So I'll try to refrain from going and making declarative statements. But you can tell some things, and Brandon is a very instinctive player. You know, Foles here today has made some really nice throws, and he's missed on some throws too. They are, you know, Doug Peterson is just working with him on every facet of playing the quarterback position. You take your steps, the ball's got to be out here. Timing. Perfection, precision. I mean, these players were not held to such standards in college. Impossible for those players to be that precise in college simply because there's just not enough practice time. So here it is, a different world for those players, and you know, they've responded well. As we take a look at the headline, difficult to really say much about this. It's a 3-day rookie camp. That wraps up today. The off-season conditioning program continuing, the veterans aren't here today, but who stood out in the rookie camp? Well, I would tell you that Brandon Boykin was a standout player. I would tell you that Demaryius Johnson, a standout player in this camp. I will tell you the best player in the camp was linebacker Michael Kendricks. Terrific camp for him. I mean, you see Kendricks in coverage against this quality of player. Now, these aren't superstar NFL players here, but Michael Kendricks was better than everyone at this camp. Defensive end Maurice Fountain has a torn patellar tendon injury. Confirmed Andy Reid. We'll be joined by Andy Reid here in just a minute from his post-practice media briefing. But Michael Kendricks, again, early in the process, but you see him do everything here. Come off the edge on the blitz. Drop into coverage. Jam receivers at the line of scrimmage. Really, really off to a good start. So that's encouraging. We've got a lot to get to here on Eagles Live. I am Dave Spadaro, going to be joined by Adam Kaplan here in a few moments. I know Zompster is on the line. We're going to keep him there. We're going to take a little break and bring in Adam and then throw it to Andy Reid, his press briefing here. And we're going to continue to show you all of the highlights, the B-roll that we have from a camp where you can't tell a lot, but you can tell just enough to know who has a chance to be a Philadelphia Eagle in 2012 and beyond. Dave Spadaro with you. Let's take a little break. When we return, the great Adam Kaplan joining me in our Xfinity studio, 215-339-6709. We're just getting started on Eagles Live.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be privy, it's good for me, but this good thing comes along and I can't deny too long.
Saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Final round.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light!
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges?
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredient.
We welcome you into the studio. Dave Spadaro joined by Adam Kaplan. The rookie camp wraps up. Five practices here at the NovaCare Complex. Adam, I take a limited amount from what I see, as do you, longtime observer of the game. But still, the fans, I know, want to hear who played well. Who's going to start? Who's got a shot? Your observations.
You're looking for adjustment to the speed of practice. This is what these mini camps are all about. Not having the veterans in here is actually a good thing for these kids because they get a lot of reps.
Yep.
And the coaches love that.
I actually like the way I like the flow of this. I like having the rookies in before the whole camp.
I know, and they're going to have, 16 practices total before the vets come in? You know, 8 last week, 8 this week. So that's a good thing. I don't think there's any question about it. And then you could start judging how much do they really learn. Now, you talk about Kendricks during the first segment. The thing I like from him is he seemed to be very decisive in his movement, knew where he's kind of going. Not everyone out there did on offense and defense, so that's a good thing. They're still swimming here. The players are just trying to absorb everything they're being taught. And there's so much teaching, Dave. I don't know. That was the one thing I really picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it. Without the veterans here, these kids really could get on the field. Even if they did something well, they could still be coached.
Yeah.
And that's what they're getting here.
And this kid, obviously, Bryce Brown, somebody we've all watched. And mm-hmm. I mean, what you see, at least because I watched a lot of him, very fluid athlete, good feet. You know, Ted Williams didn't yell at him a whole lot, so, I mean, that's a
right.
good sign, right?
Right.
Otherwise, we won't know about Bryce Brown until training camp. In this camp, fans, it was a throwing camp. I mean, it was learn to get to the right spot at the right time. So all the team stuff was throwing. Here's really the only time they did running back drills. So you never even got a chance to see Bryce run through holes. It was all very much against air. So, hey, Bryce Brown, Chris Polk. Interesting to me that the Eagles go the young route here at the running back position rather than going out and signing a veteran player.
So far. We're only in May.
If in August they need somebody, there will be a half dozen players out there. I think it's the right approach.
Yeah, Tim Hightower was signed back to the Redskins. Joseph Addai was signed
by the Patriots.
To the Patriots last week. Now, the guy we've been talking about is Justin Forsett. He's probably the best guy out there who fits what they do. And then Chris Polk did not practice today due to a hamstring strain, but that's a minor thing. You have to watch with Chris Polk because this guy has some injuries.
Speed
in his
up.
History.
Yeah, it's concerning.
Yeah.
I look at Chris Polk and I look at Bryce Brown in just these drills,
mm-hmm.
which mean nothing, but they mean something. To me, Bryce is clearly a better athlete.
Better explosive, feet, but better I'll tell feet, you more what, explosive. Though, Chris Polk, if you look at his history, can catch the football, can block.
I agree.
That, for one of these kids to be the third running back on this football team, they've got to be able to block. That's the role that it's going to be up in the air as we head towards training camp.
Yeah, all right, let's get to the telephones, 215-339-6709, and let's kick it off with the Zumpster from New York. Hey, Zompy.
Dogs bark at the moon. If the moon responded, the dog is popular. That's my message to OCU Manure, baby.
Well, the OCU Manure Twitter war, I got to say, I laughed about it. I thought it was kind of funny. It's childish, but funny.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna turn 28 on Wednesday, and I'm all about being the mature level now, man. I think Shady should just show his what he's got on the field and just shut up all these players just like that. Don't even respond to him on Twitter.
Did he say anything yet? I haven't even noticed.
No, he did say something. But the point is this: I don't think the Eagles are in position to say anything about the Giants. The Giants are the Super Bowl champions. So it's a humble time. Eagles have to get back to the playoffs. Eagles have to go out and win the Super Bowl before there's any kind of woofing. I don't want to hear anything from anybody until the team. You don't boast until you win the Super Bowl. It makes no sense.
Yes, sir. But I got one question, and I'm going to give an Eagles chant and let you guys go. Okay?
Yes.
I just want to know why. You know, it's kind of a dumb question, but why do you say Brandon Boykin and Michael Kendricks? I mean, Michael Kendricks was the winner of the camp. You know, I know we can't give a definitive answer because
go ahead. Why do we
want? But why did Brandon Boykin and Michael Kendricks? What showed you that they're very fluid in what they do?
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Zomper. I mean, look, we are not saying that any of these players are going to fit a role. I know that somebody tweeted out that Vinnie Curry will be the third defensive end. I mean, that's just absurd to say that.
But what you can say
is that what I saw from Michael Kendricks is that he was better than everybody at this camp. Because why? Quick to the football. When he blitzed, he got home. You know, you can just tell a good football player when he makes plays. Brandon Boykin, same thing. Got his hands on the football a lot.
Yeah, you're looking to see the things that you saw, Dave, transfer when the veterans are in here. Can they still make those plays? Because then you're going to have the better athletes, Dave, are coming in later. That's when you start seeing the mental part of it. Can they adjust to it? Because they're not going to be getting the same amount of reps as well. So we'll find out more, but it's interesting to be here, and it's the first time I can remember in a minicamp not seeing veterans. It's kind of still different, but this is the new CBA.
Yeah. And in the, you know, it looks like Michael Kendricks will get a shot to start. I mean, it looks like
there's no question about that.
Yeah. As a first team, right off the bat kind of guy. Now, Vinnie Curry, we'll see. Tremendous, tremendous skills, but he has not lined up against, you know, Demetrius Bell or Todd Harriman's or anybody here on this team. All right, let's go to Atlanta and talk to Marcel. Marcel, how are you?
Hey, Dave, how you doing, bro?
We're great, thanks. How are you, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Excellent.
I wanted to know, considering what the changes with the coaching staff and what all the team as a whole went through last year, what you saw this weekend in terms of the rookies and them picking up the system, do you see the ones who do stick assimilating smoothly?
Well, you know,
does that come in?
Yeah, I mean, look, here's my experience, Marcel, tells me this. If you see a player who, and we have never had this kind of camp before. Usually it's the draft, and then 2 weeks later it's the whole team.
Right.
And so, you know, it's kind of, now you're really concentrating on the rookies here, which if a rookie is overwhelmed by this camp, then he has a real challenge ahead of him. History's told me that the players who come in and the moment's not too big for them, they assimilate very quickly. I've seen Kendricks. I think he's been tremendous in every facet, on the field, dealing with the coaches, lining up correctly, making plays, dealing with the media, getting to meetings on time, etc. Full seems like he's got the understanding that he's got a long way to go, a ton to learn. I mean, I can't tell you.
Other side of the coin.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you that Nick Foles is a good quarterback or not. I can tell you that McNutt isn't as quick off the line of scrimmage as maybe I thought he would be. But he's a big body.
But you have to understand McNutt's game. He is a fluid route runner. He's a guy from, you know, first 10 yards, not going to run very fast.
Yeah.
20 yards, much faster, and he's really good with running after the catch. And, you know, there's a reason why he was not a fourth-round pick.
Right.
Damaris Johnson.
Super quick!
Holy smokes! Does he get off the line?
He's to me he's Deshaun quick. He's quicker than Chad Hall.
Yes.
And Chad Hall's very quick. But now, Chad Hall's bigger, at, believe it or not, gets off the press better, and Chad Hall makes plays. So I'm not writing. I'm just telling you there's going to be competition at the wide receiver positions.
Well, McNutt, if Johnson makes the team, it's going to be as a kickoff returner. That's going to be his primary role. Now, could they find
I'm not putting a 5'8", 175-pound guy at kickoff return. I got to tell you that.
Deshaun is 170.
He's not a kickoff returner. He's a punt returner.
But he's going to get hit.
But I don't want... Go ahead.
This guy's Johnson was one of the best in NCAA history. What are you talking about? Come on.
It's a totally different game here.
So it's football.
Okay. It's a totally, Adam. It's a totally...
Come on, Marcel. Back me up here.
Go ahead. I would like somebody who's got a little bit more size returning kickoffs. If I possibly could.
All right. Well, who are you bringing in?
I don't know.
Good luck.
I wouldn't, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even second guess it just because we have the best coach in the business.
Marty Gilliard is who
special
I
special teams.
He has size, but he's not that fast.
Marty Gilliard.
He's physical, though. He's a physical returner. All right.
Marty Gilliard's a different. Marty Gilliard, to me, is your number one cat. Boykin, I don't want him returning kickoffs because I want him, if he wins the nickel cornerback job, I don't want him getting his his bell rung as a kickoff return man. Hey, Marcel, thanks for the call. All right. We're going to keep fighting here.
Yeah. There's going to be a ton of competition for that kickoff returner job. At least three guys. And the other kid, the kid from Argot.
Cliff Harris.
Yeah. Might be in that, too, if he makes a team. So we'll see. A lot of competition.
Yeah. That's the idea of this camp. Adam, we've spent a lot of time here on Boykin, and deservedly so. He's been around the ball a lot. He's going to challenge Jose Leo Hansen. He's an electric kind of guy, but he's, what is he, 5'8"?
5'8 and change.
I just on kickoff returns, I want somebody who's stout there.
I agree with you.
5'9", 182.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, when you're talking about the return game, it's, first of all, not taking negative yards. Explosiveness. When is the last time they've had an explosive kick return? It's been a while.
Since
Drew Calvin had a little bit of that, but he lost it. I mean, someone who's consistent every week where you
felt J.R. Reed.
Probably.
Had a couple of returns.
But who was consistent?
When Butch Pachanico was not tackling him on the sidelines, he was pretty electric.
Okay.
But that's a bigger body, straight line runner, Brian Mitchell type. But wouldn't you love to have Brian Mitchell here? What if Bryce Brown can return kickoffs? 4.37 speed?
Yeah. Who knows?
220 pounds?
Physical. No,
that's the kind of, ideally, but nothing works ideally. And we won't know about the kickoff return game until preseason games. They never go live until preseason games.
I want to see in camp some explosiveness. That's what you're looking for. Instinctiveness at that position. That's another thing.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we can argue all day long, and we will. We'll continue this. But first up, it's Andy Reid. The practices are over. Andy Reid, head coach, meets the media in the practice bubble just a few moments ago.
All right. Let me just shoot you the injury situation. Don't get it too close now. Injury situation here. Colt Anderson. So I'm going to give you the whole roster. Colt Anderson, no mini camps or OTAs. We'll just see how it goes for training camp. And then Jamar Chaney, who had neck surgery, no minis or OTAs, should be ready for camp. Maurice Fountain, who got hurt yesterday, tore his patellar tendon, and we'll have to have surgery on that. And he actually was doing a heck of a job. Mike Patterson, who had the brain surgery, which I think you're aware of, no minis or OTAs there, should be good for training. He's actually doing very well right now. He's been going through the workouts, and he just can't. He can't put a helmet on. Jason Peters, Achilles tendon tear. Is out until indefinitely right now until we make a decision on that. Chris Polk, hamstring strain. He was one of the rookies here, and he should be okay. And then people that should be fine are Brent Celek. We'll limit his reps a little bit in minicamp, just see how he's doing as we hit the OTAs, and then we'll go from there. Just, again, should be fine for training camp. Moses, who had ankle surgery, he's cleared, and so is Jason Kelce. He's cleared. Jason had the foot sprain. All in all, I was happy with the way things worked out in this minicamp. It was great to get the rookies out here, get them the reps that they were able to get. You saw that it was a lot of them. They were able to show some stuff, and I don't think anybody left here feeling like they were slighted on number of plays that they got to show. So I was surprised by their retention. It helps that you have two quarterbacks that can kind of pick things up offensively and middle linebackers that can digest what we were throwing at them and kind of get everybody lined up and going. So all in all, Good camp.
Especially after what you guys went through last year, how much you look forward to next week when you get the whole group in here for an OTA?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I look forward to that. We've had everybody up here. It'll be good to get the helmet on and the jersey on. They'll be in the same outfits this crew was in for the OTAs and the mandatory mini camp that we finished with. And that's good. That's a good thing. We can actually do offense versus defense and get some work done there that we need to get knocked out before we start training camp.
Yeah. Was this camp important for you as coaches to show the rookies how you want them to play in the Eagles way and in the Eagles system and get them on that track started early?
Yeah, it's a good foundation. It's a good introduction. Now, we threw a lot at them. It looked like they digested it pretty well. You know, do we have to move guys around a little bit? Yeah, but I thought this was a great introduction that these guys can build on. And when they get together with the veterans and now they have that extra pressure and everything's a little bit faster, at least they have a good foundation they can bank on.
Do you see Kendricks going in the camp OTAs next week as your number one, Sam?
You know what I'm going to do? We're going to have a staff meeting here. And I'm not trying to slight you on it, but yeah. We'll have a staff meeting. We're going to go over all that stuff. And But I would tell you that he looked good out here.
Yeah.
Right? He made a lot of plays and got his hands on the ball. And we've just got to see where he gets the most reps. And normally that's what the ones. But I've got to go through all that with the coaches. And
you worked with Kendricks and a lot of the players on blitzing quite a bit this weekend. Is that something that you or Juan want to incorporate more into the defense this season?
Well, you know, Howie and I told you that back when we took Michael, that's one of his strengths. I mean, he was really good at that in college. So you can get a guy coming off that tight end side or the strong side, and you feel comfortable with speed, agility, the ability to adjust to make the tackle when he's moving fast and furious going forward. You want to exploit that the best you can. So we'll see. It was good to get him introduced to it, and then we'll see how he does once we get the pads on.
His coverage ability, pretty impressive. He had a couple of pass breakups in the flat today.
Yeah, no, he did. He had those two over the middle, actually, and those were tough because that was against a wide receiver. They were trying to bring across his face, and you've got to have a little athletic ability to do that.
How about the play Harris made in the end zone on the interception?
Oh, I got on him a little bit about that. I mean, you know. No, that was a good play. That was a good play. Actually, he was smart. He waited to jump. So it was against Ron Johnson. Ronald went up and was actually above him a little bit, but he trusted. The guy gets a grab, and then you go back up through the ball, pops it out, and it went right into his hands. Pretty nice play. He's actually had a nice camp.
Schmidt not coming back. Havili, is he your fullback right now? I mean, is it his job to lose?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Fletcher, it looked like you had him at the three technique, the one technique. You were moving him all around the defensive line there. How important is that versatility? And are you trying to get a sense of?
Listen, I think that's what he gives you. He gives you the opportunity to do that, to move him around a little bit. And whether you have him at tackle or end, one technique or three technique, or even widen him out to the nine, I think he has the athletic ability to do that. Right now we're concentrating on the two inside techniques. And he's comfortable in there. You have to be able to do that unless you're going to flop those players. When the tight end moves and the strength of the formation changes, they've got to play both a three and a one.
Andy, we talked to Howie before the draft about character and an evolving definition of what that is. And you have several guys here in this camp, not guys you drafted, but guys you picked up afterward who have had some adventures. You know, what did you have to satisfy yourself of?
That was good. That's a writer's adventures. I like that. I'm going to use that at the next press conference when somebody gets in trouble. I understand.
Yeah,
we do. We have a couple guys we're giving a second chance to, really. So they goofed up. We felt through our evaluation process that they, they're not bad kids. We give them a chance. They know they goofed up, which is important. They've admitted they goofed up, which is even more important. So we'll see if there's a change that takes place.
Demaryius Johnson, I was just talking to him. I mean, did you have to satisfy, did he have to talk to you about what he did and stuff like
that? Yeah, we met with them. We actually sent Bobby down and he met with them down in Tulsa. So we tried to do our homework before we brought the guys in. And, we did background checks on them. Dom does all that. So we just wanted to make sure we had all the information. And, and we felt comfortable with it. Now listen, do they know they goofed? Yeah, they know they goofed. Do they know there are not a lot of second chances in this world? Yeah, so they're getting one, and we'll see what they do with it.
Kendrick's obviously being a rookie, you can't make a decision about Sam, but what about at the safety position? There aren't many rookies competing for that spot. Is it going to be Jarrett and Allen next week, or is it going to be Kurt?
Yeah, you have Kurt, and yeah.
Okay. Brandon Boykin was another very versatile player on the field, worked in the slot, worked on the outside, looked comfortable in both. How important was it?
He made progress. He has a little bit of a foot that was bothering him before camp here, and so we kind of took it easy to see where he was, and he felt good through this camp. Foot held up well. He's learning with that inside slot position, you've got to make sure that you maintain leverage. I thought he improved on that. That was something that I thought he needed to get better at when we drafted him. Heck, I thought he worked hard on it and did better.
And Pope didn't practice yesterday afternoon or today.
Hamstring, yeah.
13 unsigned, the 13 tryout guys were here. Did him impress you enough to maybe?
Yeah, right when I leave here, I'm going up and we have a staff meeting, and I've got it all set up so we can look at those kids because they've got to get out of here. So if any of them, you know, we really like, then we'll end up keeping them. There are a couple that stood out and you know that I thought had a pretty nice camp. The safeties that were in there, I thought they did a pretty good job. And really, they all busted their tail. What an opportunity, right? I mean, that's one of the neat things about the new rules. These kids come in and they get a chance to show, and now somebody calls us if we, you know, we're going to have to let some of them go. So people call, and the way they handled themselves here I thought was excellent. And maybe they get a shot somewhere else, if not here.
Two more guys.
I'm sorry, I'm sure you probably addressed this in some manner, but how bad do you feel for Maurice Fountain? I mean, he was the oldest guy here. He's going to be 30 in September.
And he's one of my favorite guys. I mean, he just does everything he's asked to. You know the story. And so, I mean, that's those are sick.
Dave Spadaro here. And yes, we are here with the real one. Philip Thomas is here. And it's been an interesting weekend for Philip. It's been an interesting weekend because he gets sent into this crazy world of the NFL and gets asked about being an imposter. Somebody's being an imposter. Somebody's pretending to be you, Philip. So I won't talk about that in a bit. We have the real Philip Thomas here. So we're talking about football first. And you come from Syracuse and you get thrown into this situation. And just to explain to the fans, you don't look at the playbook before Friday, right?
Yeah.
You don't know the language of the defense before Friday, right?
No, sir.
So they basically say, here's 50 plays. We're going to run them in practice. We're going to run this in practice the next day, and you got to learn it all, right?
Yeah.
How hard is it?
I mean, it wasn't pretty hard. Like I said, man, I'm an advanced learner. You know, if the coaches break it down to me real good, you know, all I got to do is just take it all in, you know, and just take it and just translate it to the field, you know. So, I mean, it went pretty good, you know, and the coaches, they break it down fundamentally, you know, from the bottom on up, you know. And that's a good thing with me because I learn, and then once you learn it, you know, your talents take over, you know, and that's what I like to do right now. You know?
So Friday night you get in here, Philip. What was it like? What's kind of put the whole weekend in perspective? They always talk about how the first thing that you really notice is the tempo and how everything, not only on the field but in the classrooms, getting from one meeting to another, everything's so much faster. Did you feel that?
Yes, I did. You know, I got in Friday, you know, from the airport, you know, coming in, meeting all the coaches and things like that, and just coming in, just starting, you know, and I was proud to be here, proud to be an Eagle, you know, and like I said, man, it's a big transition, you know, but there's nothing I didn't do before, you know, leaving Miami to go to Syracuse, mm-hmm. you know, so coming to Philly is not too far, you know, it's still kind of hot here, you know, so I'm used to here, and I'm proud to be here, man. I'm just ready to learn under the vets, you know, stay humble. And just keep my mouth shut, you know. Whenever they ask me to do something, I'm ready, man. I'm just here and thankful for the opportunity, man, because you never know, man. Opportunities lifetime come,
so,
man.
So shortly after you, you know, get signed by the Eagles here, the draft is over, you sign as a non-drafted rookie, there's reports, I guess, on Facebook or Twitter that you actually had signed with the Redskins. And were you aware of it? And this has all been cleared up since then, and they're looking to find out who this imposter is. Were you even aware that was going on?
It all started in college, you know. Somebody walked up to me. It's just a random person, you know. I'm walking in class, and they was like, man, do you know you have two Facebook accounts? And I'm like, nah, you know, and they showed me, you know, so I'm thinking, whoa. So, man, then I had to have people writing me, asking me on my real Facebook account, do I know I got two Facebook accounts, you know, and then he just, people saying that the dude is posting, like, crazy pictures of different, like, not good things, you know, and just saying things, the people writing, people saying all type of crazy things, you know. So I never paid no mind, you know, and I never knew it got to a farther point, you know, where it messes with the organization, you know, the Redskins, you know, and things like that. So I'm glad I'm here, you know, and I'm an Eagle, you know, and I was always an Eagle. I never was going to the Redskins, you know. I talked to Howie, Coach Andy Reid, you know, and it went pretty good with those guys, you know, and I like it here, you know, and I'm proud to be here, you know. So like I say, man, all I can do is just ignore that, you know, and just move on and just keep playing, man.
To follow Philip, it's P Thomas_1, at P Thomas_1 for the real Philip Thomas. Let's talk about the defense and how it fits what you do. Do you like the scheme? Do you think
it's a pretty good scheme. You know, we sort of ran a similar scheme at Syracuse. You know, and it's like coming down. You know, we be a tackling position. You know, like I said, man, I was always a tackling machine at Syracuse. You know, so Coach Z taught us, man, it's just a good thing. That's why you brought me in. You know, we did similar things. You know, the defense is going pretty good. You know, we get the help outside with the cornerbacks. You know, might get an easy interception. You know, so I like the scheme that the coach is running, and I'm ready to learn. Like I say, man.
From what you saw this weekend, from a physical standpoint, no concerns about being fast enough, strong enough, big enough to make it to this level?
As of right now, you can't tell, you know, you can't be no T-shirt All-American, you know.
Right, so that's, T-shirt, you know, All-American, I like,
you know,
that.
So, you know, I just, all I could do is just, I just was going on, you know, just learning. So when it's time to put on gear, you know, time to go in the trenches, you know, it's time to go hard, you know. So that's when all I could do is just learn from the little things right now and then go hard, you know.
What kind of feedback did Coach Zordich give you?
He just told me, man, just play my game, you know. It's a fast tempo now, you know. And like I said, when we first came out the first practice Saturday morning, it was pretty fast. Mm-hmm. You know, the warm-up was pretty fast. So I had to, like, get used to it real quick, you know. He just told me, man, Phil, just calm down. Just go out there and play your game, man. Don't go out there thinking too hard, you know. And that's the type of stuff I need to hear, you know, from a coach, you know. And that just boosted my energy up to go out there and just play even harder, you know.
Was your heart just going boom, 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 boom?
Yeah, at first when I walked on the field, the first morning count, you know, my heart was pumping. It looked like I thought I was going to fall out. Like, I thought I had the BGs.
Right.
So it was pretty, but as the day continued to progress, you know, I was learning, talking to the other guys, communicating, things like that. So it's pretty good. I started feeling comfortable around the coaches and things like that. Coach Andy Reid makes me feel like I'm home. You know, he's a good coach, man. Good down-to-earth guy. You know, he's understandable.
Phillip, what do you do now? I guess you don't come back for, I guess, a couple of weeks now, right?
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're here? You're allowed to stay here through the whole time?
My school graduated. You know, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I'm here to June 22nd, man, working out with the guys.
Okay, so it's important for you to get in the weight room, get in the playbook?
I'm ready, man.
It's interesting because, you know, I guess in college, when you have downtime in college, you're a college student. You got to go to class. You have fun with your friends. Here, when you've had downtime, has it just been all stay in the playbook and get your sleep?
Yeah, football, just football and sleep. You know, like I say, starting Friday, you know, I went to sleep. You know, I went to sleep like 9 o'clock, you know, just concerned about my body, making sure my body is okay, you know, and just being up at 6 o'clock, making sure I don't miss the shuttle. And all those things plays in the fact, and the coach is like, you know, trusting you and things like that, on and off the field, you know. So I'm just trying to perfect everything. Nobody's perfect, but I could try to be, you know.
Yeah, you're how old are you, 22?
21.
21 years old, and you've got to be a grown man very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly, man. No pouting, none of that, man. You got to go up quick, man. And that's one thing about it, you know. I come from a tough place, and I ain't never let nothing stop me, you know. And like if a coach yell at me, you know, go tough on me, that's good, you know. I mean, he want me to do better, you know. Yeah. So. Yes, coach, you know, get back to the play. And then, like, I'm a DB, you got to forget about things quick. You know, you do well on something, then you probably get beat the next play, you know. So all I can do is just move on from it.
Who did you cover this weekend who was maybe the most difficult guy? Do you remember a number that maybe somebody jumped out at you?
I say Matt Nutt was pretty good. You know, he was a pretty good guy, you know. I think all them guys, matter of fact, they wasn't here for no reason. You know, they got here for a reason. All them guys came out, worked out pretty good. You know, we had to stick those guys one-on-one and things like that, team, you know. So it's pretty good. Everybody got a good experience, you know, in the NFL, you know, playing for a good organization, you know. So it's a pretty good feeling, you know.
Well, I know you got a long way to go here. A lot of good start for you. You feel good about the way things went for
you? Yes, sir. I'm ready, man.
Good.
I'm ready. I'm proud to be here.
All right, Philip Thomas. It's P Thomas_1, the real Philip Thomas, a Philadelphia Eagle. And glad to have you very much.
Thank you, man.
Here in Philadelphia. Philip, thanks for joining us in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming to the Events Hall Pikes Monster Jam. Path of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars tear up Philadelphia, including world champions Medusa, Monster Mutt, El Toro Loco. Direct from his world finals win, 10-time world champion Maximum Destruction, driven by Tom Mix. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration, 4-time world champion 3D, driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, his seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
We want to protect the house.
Right.
But
home security systems can be really expensive. So to save money, we actually just adopted a rescue panther.
I think I might.
We find that we don't need to sleep that much.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information. There now, joined again by Adam Kaplan. Philip Thomas, a nice kid, huh?
Yeah, very nice, very nice. He
very excited.
He's so humble. And
why didn't he get
that? Was a good interview. The thing I Thanks. Liked is that he totally got the big picture here. He's an undrafted free agent. He better stay in line. And he takes to coaching, which he also talked about, because that's the thing Fletcher Cox talked about. I mean, Jim Washburn's getting on him, but he kind of knew that coming in. And Philip Thomas has worked with Mike Zordich, who's a veteran, who's also a safety in the league. And you got to be able to take the coaching, because when you're an undrafted free agent, you've got no leverage here. You've got no tomorrow here. So it was good. It was an interesting interview. And of course, the crazy someone else is trying to be him. I mean, it's a tough thing to talk about. Two Facebook accounts.
Why didn't he get drafted? I know things at Syracuse, again, just kind of fell apart for him. Is that the reason?
I think he was probably a guy who was going to go late if he got drafted at all. But clearly is a guy who's got enough ability to be in a camp and training camp. He's still a long shot. But we'll see. Yeah. And it's good that he's going to be here, get acclimated to the environment of the Philadelphia area, because he gets to stay here now.
All right, let's go to the telephones, 215-339-6709. Calvin in Yazoo City, Mississippi joins us. Hey, Calvin.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
How you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great, man. First of all, I want to make a comment, man. I really enjoyed the camp this whole weekend. And, I mean, guys stood out like, Fletcher Cox, man, you know, and the guy he just had in the studio. I like their attitude. You know, these guys coming in not overconfident, but willing to learn and take what they got, you know, and bring it in, mm-hmm. you know, mix it in with Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, it's looking great, man.
Yeah, I think it looks – Adam, do you come away from this weekend with a positive feeling? I mean, it's kind of hard not to be positive after a rookie camp.
As far as in general, as far as the group?
Well, hang on. Hey, Calvin, hang on. Adam, yeah, just about what you saw out there.
Yeah, I thought that the teaching element was fantastic. I mean, that's what you're looking to see kids absorb. And I think you touched on this at the top of the show, and I could elaborate on it. Sometimes you go to these mini camps, this is, I don't know how many of these I've been to, where guys totally didn't seem like they knew what they were doing. Here, because they're no veterans, they're able to get more reps and get on there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good. Now, I would say, yeah, there's some positivity here. I don't think there's any question. And some of these undrafted free agents really have ability. You could see that.
All right. Hey, Calvin, go ahead. You have a question?
Yeah, I got a question. I was wondering if you guys think, I know it might be a little bit too early, but guys like Michael Kendrick and Fletcher Cox, we'll be looking for these guys to start.
Well, I think Adam would agree with me, to discuss any of these players as a starter right now, it's just so
ridiculous.
It's just so premature. Yeah. But, I mean, you see that there's great ability. In fact, Adam and I were kind of talking about this on Saturday with Cox. – you really like him, and you like his versatility and his ability to
so
penetrate.
So fluid. Yeah, Dave, it's a great way to put it. Thank you, as I could hear you there. But the bottom line with Fletcher Cox is he's not a guy who's going to always line up inside. I mean, you can move him around. And I thought Greg Cosell made a great point. He said when he watches tape in college, he said if he had an average, he would say you could probably say 20% of the time he's lined up at end. That's pretty significant for a guy who's supposedly going to play only most of the time D-tackle. That's good. He's so fluid. Look at
what he was – Calvin and Adam was described to me by somebody on the team. Can't believe he's 300 pounds because he moves so well.
No, it didn't. Dave, I said –
I think he would hurt to add a couple more pounds on
me. I think it's funny you say that because my first comment was first D-tackle I've ever seen that didn't have a gut.
Right.
He didn't have any. Where's
the gut? Broderick Bunkley didn't have a gut.
He was well when he first came here, Dave. He was
a rock, solid. Yeah.
This kid probably maybe he is 290 or 295.
He's lean.
He's really lean and long. Yeah. So.
Is that a problem? Is that a concern though? Is he
well,
too
lean?
Well,
the players here, Dave. That's a good question. The linemen in the National Football League are bigger and stronger, and that's going to be a test for him is how strong he's going to be. Now, I know when he plays at end, they're going to play wide, and remember, they play 2x2 here on the line in the 9 technique. So we'll have to see if he can get off the line as quickly, because this is going to be a challenge for him. He's going to be playing, he's going to do some things that he's never done before, and the great thing is being here now and no veterans here, he's getting so much more teaching from Washburn, and you saw it the first day. I'm standing now 10 feet from Washburn. He's on him immediately. I love that stuff.
I'd like to know, and I'll talk to the coaches in the days to come, how much better exponentially some of these players got from Friday to Monday. Let's go to Jason in Pennsylvania. Hi, Jason.
Oh, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? Good afternoon.
I got a question about our safeties. Who do you think is going to be our two starting safeties, Nate Allen and Coleman?
I think it's going to be Nate Allen and either Coleman or Jarrett.
You don't think we bring anybody in?
I don't think there's anybody who knocks your socks off at the safety position. Any veterans out there? We've talked about Jeremiah Bell for weeks and weeks, and clearly there's nothing special, at least at this point.
But there's nothing. There's no reason to bring a guy in now because, first of all, the rookies are here. If you're going to sign someone, you need him by training camp. I mean, that's
you're just taking reps away from young players.
Right.
You want to
let
see
them
these
get
young
in there.
Players.
That's exactly it.
And what about backup running back? Who do you think is going to be our backup running back in the beginning of the season?
I think it'll be Deion Lewis and Bryce Brown. I'm a big Bryce Brown
fan.
Wow,
you're ready? Wait a minute. You're not making it. You're making a definitive statement now?
I want eight.
You've saved 3 days and not cut it out.
Hey, Sam, show me the Bryce Brown, all right?
Oh, God.
Hey, Jason.
Thank you.
We don't own this. We're doing this completely. It's wrong to do this, but Bryce Brown in high school video.
Okay, did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm real Bryce Brown in high school video. That's not him. This is him, number 24. Okay. Now, I mean, he's obviously running against Danny Spadaro, but
that's a huge haul he ran through. Okay,
so
he's got long speed. That he
right.
definitely has that. This is good video. He's got long speed. That's what he was known for, a guy's size. But we mentioned this earlier. First of all, whoever the third back is, gonna have to block.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just saying the guy's got great
talent.
How about
Chris Polk? I'm Chris Polk.
I think Chris Polk's fine. I just worry about Chris Polk, his ability to withstand all of the injuries that he's had.
Okay.
Now, I'd like to see if Bryce Brown actually broke a tackle in high school. I don't know if that ever happened, but we'll take some more phone calls.
Right.
But let's keep watching this.
This is good stuff.
I believe.
Where did you find this?
I believe it's something called YouTube. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Nah, never.
I believe in the power of the prep superstar running back who then went to college and who didn't get beat up. I'm willing to go this far, Adam, and tell me if I'm crazy. And I know you'll say yes. What if if Bryce Brown makes
it's
it?
Not
the
even
NFL,
anyone close to him there.
What
go
if?
Ahead.
But look at that guy. That defensive back right there. He's got some speed, and he's running right by him.
Long speed. He's got
he's
long
like five
speed.
Six
no question.
Five six 145 pounds.
Right. Right.
But I think that maybe running backs say, well, you know what? I'm not going to go to college and get my brains beaten in if I'm that good. Let's see if anybody comes close to making a tackle. Seven almost. There we go.
There were some maturity issues with him, David. It had less to do with football and more to be.
This is sick.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the most decorated running backs in high school football in the last 25 years. Make no mistake about it. But he was an underachiever in college.
Yeah. I mean,
he's got ability. There's no question about that.
We'll see. But I thought he looked good in camp and whatever. But just keep playing. Oh, here he goes catching the football. That's a professional swing pass. Look at that blocker out there. Boof. Whoa. Blocking the back. Whoa, hey,
no,
ho.
He's not going to turn this around.
Here
no
we
way.
Go. Come on now. Jump on the train now,
pretty
Adam.
Impressive. Of course, this is 5 years ago, but okay. It's all right.
It's okay. Jump on the train right now. 3 years ago. 4 years
did
ago.
He leave, did he leave early?
No, he didn't leave high school early. He left
no,
college
No, did he
early.
Leave college early? Did he leave a 1 year?
Okay. He would have left high school early, I'm sure.
Oh, national six. See, I was right.
2006?
Is that sophomore tape? High school sophomore tape? See, I was right 5 years.
So he was good as a sophomore.
He looked pretty good there, yeah.
215-339-6709. You tell me we have no phone calls?
Well, here's
What's
the question.
Matter with you people?
If they go to camp with these same backs,
yeah,
who would you call the favorite to win the number three job?
Bryce Brown. Seventh round draft pick over a rookie free agent.
How about invested, a rookie free agent other than medical?
You've invested.
Would have gone in the third or fourth round.
From a team
that?
Standpoint, you've invested a draft pick in a player. I'm not saying Chris Polk can't make it. I think Chris Polk is a talented kid, and I'm glad the Eagles got him. But, I mean, Merrill Reese was here screaming for days about the guy.
Who, Bryce Brown?
No, Chris Polk. He didn't. Merrill had never heard of Bryce Brown. God, only guys like me have heard of Bryce Brown.
All right.
I never heard of him.
Nick Foles, Dave.
Nick Foles. Ron in South Carolina joins us. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you guys doing? First of all, I enjoyed the draft. I watched every second
wow.
I could watch. You guys did
Thank
a
you.
Tremendous job. You
Thanks.
And Adam Kaplan and
Thank
all
you.
The guys there.
You're insane. All right.
Thank you. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dad. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Now, if you just heard something crazy about Bryce Brown, I'm going to throw something else at
sure.
you.
Sure.
Okay.
Kendricks impresses me when I watched him in college.
Sure.
And what if you put him out there free safety?
No, he's a linebacker. And here's what's – I'm glad he was impressive to you, but you're going to see him blitz off the edge. You're going to see him in coverage. As fast as he is, he's not a safety. I know the Eagles have moved players in the past. They've made Gokong a defensive end in college, a linebacker in the NFL. You know, they've moved players around. But to move a linebacker to safety, I mean, this is a 240-pound
man. Well, there could be a formation where they line him up as a joker in the middle of the field.
Right.
I mean, absolutely, you could see that because he's done that before in college, but
the idea to me was kind of obvious. When you get a guy that hits like he does, and he's 240, and he's got all that weight
as a striker,
and he's
yeah,
only, what 5'11"?
He's 5'11", 240 is about it.
Because
yeah.
you got guys yeah. going through the middle, and they get hit by a guy like that.
Well, you want him?
Won't go through the middle.
Yeah, I'm all about putting this kid at strong side linebacker. See how he does there. You know, he's as impressive a rookie first weekend guy that I've seen at linebacker.
And the thing, he carries ever, such probably. An attitude, a chip on his shoulder, like somebody did something wrong to him, and he just wants to hit somebody.
They did something wrong to him. They told him about
he's too
short. He's too short all the
right,
time.
Right, right, right. He seemed like, yeah.
If I could ask.
Sure.
Yes, please.
And when you look at that defensive line, I'll tell you, this draft, and I've been following the Eagles since 1959, so I'm up there a few years.
Yes.
And I'll
Thank
tell you.
You,
this is one of the most impressive drafts that I've seen because you have Cox, Kendricks, and Curry, three players that if they get past this mini camp, which I assume they have, they've
yes.
done probably fairly well, and they get in with the, you know, with the regulars when the draft, when the other, you know, the regular guys come in, what every guy that I've read that I've heard on television when they did a comparison of them, they said these are guys that have been tested and they've gone through the fire and they have the ability to come in and with the right coaching, which the Eagles have tremendous coaching, they should at some time during the year come in and make a really big hit on the other teams when they start playing.
Yeah, hey, Ron, thank you so much for being a great fan. Thank you very much for the phone call. But I'm going to tell you that I, Adam, just can't jump overboard on draft picks yet. I'm excited about it. I trust Howie and his guys up there. Everybody here is very, very excited about the draft, as they always are. I mean, if you don't
every team is Dave. After
if you
draft.
Don't love your draft right. after a weekend in shorts and helmets, you have major problems.
That's right. That's
so
right. You don't know until Dave. You don't know until the pads go on in August, late
and,
July,
and
early
then you
August.
Don't know for 2 years
right.
after that.
Right.
I mean, let's calm down here. Now, will the Eagles potentially get some immediate?
That
impact?
Guy, Dennis Kelly. By the way, oh my goodness gracious, he's huge.
Yes, he is. But I had trouble with some speed rushes off the edge. I up and down with him. You
don't know enough about
getting
him.
Getting redone with the way the Eagles play offensive line. His whole technique will change way too early.
That's the point. The way that they're taught in college is completely different than they're going to taught here. I saw Eugene Chung working with Kelly quite a bit there and the offensive linemen. So It's going to be interesting to see when the veterans come here, although they during the junior camp, you still can't hit.
They're not going to, but you won't see, you'll see Dennis Kelly and really evaluate him in training camp, one-on-one drills, when he's got Trent Cole and Jason Babin and Phillip Hunt and Brandon Graham and all these guys in space go after him. So
that's why this camp is so much more important.
Yeah, this is a great, great foundation. Yeah. All right, Joe in the Northeast joins us. Hey, Joey.
Dave, I have two questions.
Yeah.
First question is, how many defensive linemen do you think they're going to keep?
10 would be my guess. If they kept 11, I'd be stunned. I don't know if they can keep 6 defensive ends. Next.
Who's going to be our return men?
I'm telling you that I believe Deshaun is still your leader in the clubhouse in punts. And my leader in the
valuable to have as a punt return.
I've been saying that for 4 years. Unless somebody else emerges, do you keep Demaryius Johnson?
But he has to be better than Dave. Deshaun's got him improve.
I thought Deshaun was terrible last year.
He's got to improve.
Running backwards, trying to hit the home run, just get up the field.
Okay.
Does somebody be hang on? Kickoff. I'm telling you, Demaryius Johnson will get a chance. Demaryius Johnson will get a chance to return punts. Boykin. Hang on. Boykin will have a chance to return punts as well. Kickoffs, to me, Marty Gilliard is your leader right now. It could be Gilliard. It could be Boykin. It could be Johnson. It could be Bryce Brown. It's a wide open
competition.
Those are the players who are going to get the first looks. Gilliard averaged 30.3 yards per return as a senior at Cincinnati. 2 touchdowns scored. Don't tell me how slow he is. He's a skilled receiver. He's been here throughout the whole offseason. A third round pick by the Rams who just didn't make it out there. Mm-hmm. Maybe he finds a spark here.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right, Joe. Thank you. I want to know who the Gunners are going to be. Is it going to be Jose Leo Hansen? Does Jose Leo Hansen make the team? Does Cold Anderson come back from his injury?
That's a big one. That is a big one because he was one of the best in the National Football League at
it.
How much has he lost because of the ACL injury?
But it's just a straight line guy. He doesn't have to make anybody. He's not dancing.
I understand. We'll see.
So he has to get that burst back.
But 2-1-5-3. I'm looking forward to seeing the kickoff return competition in training camp because they have not had an explosive returner in years.
What a weirdo. That's like 50th on my list. Well, you're not going to see the kickoff return. They don't run it live. I know I am, but they don't run. Okay. They don't run it live
with your new Nike shirt.
It's a nice
Nike
shirt.
Slick. Like it.
Thanks.
Please don't sleep in it anymore, though.
I won't. It's beautiful. I just share it with Chris McPherson. 215-339-6709. We're tight.
I'm not responding to
that. Herb in Philly joins us. Hi, Herbert.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Yeah, Bryce Brown is one of the guys I want to look at, but you can't get excited about him because he's fast, because you knew he was fast.
I get excited
Thank
about
you,
a
Herb.
6-foot, 220-pound body who runs a 4.37 40.
Yeah, I almost was like that when I was younger, only I was shorter, heavier, and slower.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how
we appreciate the honesty.
Right.
But, I do want to see him, but you know he's blazing fast. That's why they brought him in. So if he was slow, he'd be in trouble. But we'll see in training camp. We got to see how he runs, how he takes the contact, how he holds on to the ball, and he better be able to block.
No question about it.
Learn to block.
It's not just the block. He's got to run the right routes. I mean, it's being a complete running back.
Do you remember how Ryan Moats had a problem, Dave?
And Ryan Moats mentally just could never get the offense down. They tried to dumb it down for him.
Not go crazy thinking Bryce Brown.
Rookie running backs in this system have never carried the football a whole lot. Nobody's carrying the football a lot. If all works out well, LeSean McCoy gets his carries, Deion Lewis gets a handful, and then.
But you're missing my
entire
third point.
Your third back plays.
Who is the guy, if McCoy got hurt, who's the guy goes in?
Well, that's what we have to find out about Bryce Brown.
Thank you very much.
And Deion Lewis. I like Deion Lewis. What am I? All right, Herb, thanks for the call. All right, let's take a little break here. Adam and I are going to continue our bickering. We'll take a break, and on the other side, we catch up with the legendary Ron Jaworski, who gives us a national view on your Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles Live, coming right back.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The event's all points. Monster Jam. Path of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars. Tear up Philadelphia, including world champions. Batusa. Monster Mutt. El Toro Loco. Direct from his world finals win. 10-time world champion. Maximum Destruction. Driven by Tom Metz. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration. 4-time world champion. 3-10. Driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, kids' seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
You know, weight loss programs can be expensive, so to save some money, I just got the popular girls from the local middle school to follow me around.
Ew, seriously?
So gross.
Ew, seriously?
That is so gross.
Ew, seriously?
Dude, that is so totally gross.
Sign up.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hi, I'm Dave Spadaro. Welcome to PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Well, how do the Eagles look from a national perspective? We went to ESPN's Ron Jaworski, who breaks down the team, draft picks, existing team, what to expect in 2012.
I'm a true believer that you win in the locker room first. I think the Eagles have made a concerted effort to keep their veteran players, the Trent Coles, the Todd Harrimans, those guys that have laid it on the line for the Philadelphia Eagles and decided to keep those guys. And, you know, you and I have had this discussion in the past. I thought last year they deviated a little bit from that plan. When you start bringing in a lot of outside talent, and they brought talent in, but it takes time to develop a team. That chemistry, that esprit de corps that is so important, that you trust each other every single game, every single play. And I just feel in the offseason they took that approach. We're going to take care of our own, and we're going to build that chemistry.
Defense, clearly an effort to get stronger, tougher up the middle. D'Amico Ryan's good fit here?
Tremendous fit. I love D'Amico Ryan. So I've been around him now for a number of years doing Monday Night Football and being in Houston and getting to know him as a person. Yes, he is a great player, sideline to sideline player, tough guy, but he's a better person off the field. And I think he's the type of player that you build championship teams around. Great leadership skills, great passion and emotion and intensity with which he plays the game. You know, we hear so much about this wide nine defense, and it is a very good defensive scheme, but I'm a big believer you have to have that linebacker that's quick, agile, can take people on. And D'Amico Ryan's, you have that inside linebacker.
What do you think would be different with Juan year two?
Experience. You know, Juan is a brilliant man. There is no question about his knowledge, his intensity to be a great coach. But it's experience. You know, he was an offensive line coach for a long time. Now, he knew defense. He knew how to coach defense. But now he has the experience. And I've always felt it takes time for a coordinator to grow up in the game. And I'm talking on Sunday afternoon. When you got time to sit at your desk on Wednesday night and Thursday night, design plays and do all that, a lot of guys can do that. Juan's outstanding at that. And what he got progressively better at last year was during the game. The game adjustments that you have to make, getting the defense in the right position to make plays. And that comes with experience. And now he's got a year under his belt. And we saw how this defense played, you know, the fourth quarter of the season. And now you see the influx of more talent on this defense. I think they'll be very good.
One of the things the coaches have said is with Michael Vick, we got be smart, live for the next play, minimize your mistakes. But it seems like trying to teach him to play a different kind of game. Is that how you look at it? Or is the message to Michael, be yourself, be smarter? How does he get better in this year?
It's real simple. Be judicious with the football. And everyone loves the competitive juices of Michael Vick. But sometimes, you know, get 2 yards and take it when you're trying to fight for five and turn the football over. And I think Mike just has to understand you know, that's a block of gold that he's carrying. You know, I mean, this is nothing new. You study the National Football League historically. You turn the ball over, you lose. You don't turn it over, you win every single week. Last year, 80% of the time, you win the plus turnover category, you win the football game. So Michael has to understand the importance of that football. You know, he has all the other skills. I mean, there's not a question about his ability to lead this team to a championship, but he's got to understand the importance of taking care of the football.
Can you learn that in your 10th, 11th year in the NFL?
Yes, absolutely. I think every time there's a turnover, you have about 10 guys waiting in a sideline for him, including Andy Reid, Marty Morningwig, Doug Peterson, everybody else, the offensive players, say, take care of the football. You ingrain it in him. And I think on the practice field, it's the same thing. You know, when he breaks the huddle, you have guys go try to whack the football out, punch it out, almost to the point where you aggravate and irritate him. But every single minute you have to enforce ball security.
What was your reaction to the draft? I know it's a long way to go to really find out about the players, but your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm always a big believer, and ask me in 3 years about the crop of rookies, but this group I think is special. I really do. I think when you look at Cox, a penetrating defensive tackle, it's exactly what this defense has needed. He can plug up the middle, and he can penetrate. You know, Kendrick's a sideline linebacker. He will make plays. And I like Curry out of Marshall. I think this is a guy that, you know, when he gets to understand Jim Washburn and what this defense is about, this is a guy. You put them on that edge, look out quarterbacks around the league.
Thanks, Joss.
You bet, Dave.
And we are back. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan in our Xfinity studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's take some phone calls from you. Jeff in North Carolina joins us. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Adam, I'm a loyal Twitter follower. You're the best in the business.
Thank
Dave,
you.
I love you too, man. You guys
Thank
are
you, Mel. Thank you.
Hey, two questions for you real quick. The linebacker position. Obviously, okay. We all agree that D'Amico Ryans is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
The two spots, you have Casey, you have Brian, you have on the other side, could be Kendricks or Chaney. The one guy that intrigues me is Keenan Clayton. Clayton did, I believe, play a little safety in college.
Yeah, no, but
his
body has changed so much in the years he's been here.
Yeah.
You know, he was a 218, 220 pounder coming in out of Oklahoma. Now he's a 235 pound player.
He's more of just a dime linebacker.
I don't know what Keenan Clayton is yet. He's not established himself.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a nickel linebacker. And a couple years ago, he flashed a little bit. Yeah, and we're like, maybe he might do it. But
I think Casey Matthews is poised to make a nice jump at linebacker. I think Brian Roll has a chance to make a nice jump at linebacker. I think Jamar Chaney and Michael Kendricks are going to battle at the strong side spot. And, you know, Chaney would be a backup candidate in the middle behind D'Amico. Mm-hmm. So it seems they're going to keep, I think, six linebackers. I can tell you right now, D'Amico Ryans is going to make it. Kendricks is going to make it. Chaney's going to make it. Roll's going to make it. Matthews, maybe. Who's your sixth guy?
It's up in the air. Could be Monte Simmons.
Maybe you only keep five. Who knows? Yeah, Monte Simmons out there. I thought Monte had a nice pretty nice morning, actually.
He's being asked, remember, with San Francisco, they run a 3-4. He was a DN in college. Now they're asking him to drop at linebacker. He's learning on the fly here, but because the veterans aren't here, he's getting a lot of reps to feel comfortable in it, and he'll take that over the next couple weeks until the veterans come in.
Yeah.
And I guess that fourth safety spot would then be either Colt Anderson, a penalty, Tom Nelson, or a veteran.
It would be, yes. I think so.
I don't think Colt Anderson will take a snap on defense.
Oh, really right, don't. But he's still going to be your fourth safety.
I think that...
You can't keep five safeties, six linebackers, five defensive ends, six defensive ends, five... Just not enough space.
We'll do a countdown. We'll do a little 53 soon.
Man!
Question real quick, guys. It's not a sexy question by any stretch, but Chaz Henry, I know they're very high on him, but you see guys like Matt McBryer out there.
I actually got to tell you, and that's a great question, Jeff. I actually thought the Eagles would bring in some more legitimate competition for Chaz Henry.
They still may, Dave.
And they may. But the kid who's here, I think his name is Tylica, who is, I've watched him over the weekend and mixed. I mean, when he got a hold of it, great, but it was very inconsistent.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, guys, just remember, you're the best in the business.
Thanks.
Baby.
Yes, we are.
And they have plenty of cap room.
You got it,
Jeff. They have plenty of cap room. They could pretty much could do whatever they want. After that Samuel trade that created, half of their cap space was freed up was from Samuel. So in good shape. $21.5 million going to signing the rookies.
And some of that can go into next year's cap. when you want to sign Rodgers, Cromartie, and Macklin, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. I mean, the Eagles have great cap flexibility right
now. Any good players going to get cut that positions of need for the Eagles? Any stud wide receivers are going to get cut? Any stud safeties going to get cut?
But see, that kind of stuff happened, Dave, right after the draft, within the first week or so. What's going to happen is, after the June camps, a couple guys will get let go. Then, that's it. Teams will reassess their roster and see who they want to bring to training camp.
Okay.
But remember now, teams are all, you could go up to 90 players. And that's why teams, we've seen a lot of players claimed off waivers lately. That's because teams now could go to 90 players. But your rookie, remember, unsigned rookies still now count against your roster, which is now a change in the CBA. Mm-hmm. But in that, you still could sign up to 90, not 80 anymore, which is a good thing. And that's why you're seeing these guys, a decent amount of undrafted free agents being looked at, and some of the tryout players.
Yeah.
Like Alex McGee is his name? Is that the kid's name? The guy who's been in the league for like 3 years?
No.
The D-tackle, McGee? What's his first name?
No idea. You're talking about somebody who's here today?
McGee, yeah. No, he's a D-tackle. He's been here since I've been here. McGee. There he is. I was right. Alex McGee.
So name
you don't
escapes
even have him
me.
Highlighted.
He's a tryout guy.
Yeah. All right. He's a tryout guy, but he's been in camps.
Okay.
See? With Mo Fountain.
You know Alex McGee.
I know who he is. I know exactly
who he is.
You
are a dweeb. No, I'm just kidding.
That's my thing. You know, I know.
Derek
can
get
the guy at the end of the roster a chance.
I know. I do too. How about Aaron Flugrad?
I call him Flemguard because I never heard of him. I did a little research.
Right. That's lacking respect.
No, but here's
Flemguard.
You know who his college teammate was?
No, I don't.
Brock Osweiler.
Oh, yes, he was.
That was his go-to guy.
Okay.
Osweiler's go-to guy was Flugrad.
Okay.
See?
Yeah,
is it grad or guard?
Grad.
See, grad. Okay. He's playing a lot of the slot, I noticed.
Derek in Gettysburg joins us. Hey, Derek.
How you doing?
We're good, thanks. How are you?
Hey, I have a quick two questions.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles, what is going to be his system like? Does he have big plans, or is he going to make it simple?
From meeting Todd, getting to know him, talking to the players, it's... He's actually a really intimidating guy, and my sense is that he's going to be that they be very aggressive, that they mix up their coverages, that they're going to come to the line of scrimmage and play press a lot, that they support the run, and that they're physical cornerbacks. I think one of the reasons that Asante Samuel was traded is that Asante's style is to play, and he's done it with great success, play off coverage. Break to the ball, read the quarterback, make the play.
That's his game.
That's his game. Yeah. And Todd doesn't want to play that game. He wants the cornerbacks to be much more physical at the line of scrimmage.
You're going to see that from the second. For anyone going to training camp,
that's
I can personally guarantee you, you're going to see that at training camp, and they are going to be physical.
Well, it'll be
you're not going to recognize
And I don't
this.
Think Nnamdi's going to have a big issue with that, although he wasn't particularly physical last year. I think in the past he'd been
No,
more,
but that's what he's being
I think,
asked to
I think
do
Rodgers Cromartie will have a different kind of... He's going to be asked
but
to be
both
in the mix
big,
a lot more.
Dave, yeah. They're both big. And remember, in Oakland, here was a guy who was known for being up close to the line. He didn't play off a lot.
Right.
So this is going to be a difference. And this is what I think Sean McDermott wanted to do with Asante.
But Asante didn't want to
do it.
Right.
Couldn't do it.
Right. And you remember that... thanks for the call, Derek. That you remember that Sheldon Brown had that thing about how not everybody was buying into Sean's system. I wonder if he was referring to...
Respecting and buying in and
buying
all that.
In.
Sure.
All right. We're going to show you now some action, quote-unquote, from this morning. It's Bo Wolf, the play-by-play announcer with the wide receivers and the quarterbacks warming up. Take a little break. And on the other side, an NFL Network analyst says the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East. Let's go to the morning practice here and show you in the bubble the wide receivers and the quarterbacks.
All right, we are inside the practice bubble here for the final day of rookie camps. A little bit of a rain outside, so they're taking it inside to be safe. And right now we are looking at Nick Foles lofting some passes to the wide receivers and tight ends. Ronald Johnson there. Rojo, the veteran of these receivers, spent some time on the practice squad and then a game on the active roster last year. That was Aaron Flugrad, number 86 out of Arizona State. As you see, Nick Foles lofting it up right in stride to these guys. That's Bryce Brown, the seventh round running back who just caught that one. Here we've got McKay Jacobson out of BYU. You can just look at the mechanics of Foles as he throws these passes ahead of these receivers. And a nice one-handed grab there by number 83, Marvin McNutt, your sixth-round pick out of Iowa. Nice acceleration there to get the ball from Akia Williams, the Division III standout from Louisiana College. All right, we move now to some red zone throws that Nick Foles and Ja'Cory Harris are making to the wide receivers and tight ends. Got to be precise in the red zone, of course. Let's see how they do it. Ja'Cory Harris now working to Chase Ford, and he hits him in stride. Chase Ford, the undrafted rookie out of Miami, didn't do too much collegially in Miami, but was a star in junior college. And so the Eagles think he's got a chance. Brett Brackett now, 85 from Nick Foles. Nice job right in the corner. Brackett is a player who really very well could challenge Clay Harbor for that second tight end spot, and then there's an opportunity perhaps that the Eagles keep three tight ends. But Brackett's a guy who has been with the team since midseason last year on the practice squad. He's been here every day at the NovaCare Complex working very hard, and someone who really does have a chance. I think you guys might be surprised by him come training camp time. All right, we move to the 15-yard line. Looks like Ronald Johnson's going to be first up here for the receivers. Got a Pac-12 connection, Arizona to USC coming up. Post, a little bit behind him. All right, McKay Jacobson up now from Ja'Cory Harris. Sticks the post, goes up and get it. And hey, that's a touchdown. 6 points, baby. Damaris Johnson. Very nice. Very fast. You can say he's the one undrafted receiver who's flashed a little bit. He's certainly undersized, but he's very, very quick. And, of course, you're talking about mini camps where quicks is really all that matters. You're not going to see guys getting hit or anything like that. But he's a guy who we're going to certainly pay attention to and another possible return candidate. Shamon Chambers, that was. He's the tryout wide receiver. Akia Williams now from Louisiana College goes up and gets it. Nice job. All right, let's watch Marvin McNutt here about to come up as he receives the coaching from David Culley, the noted wide receivers coach. McNutt, the sixth-round pick, a former high school quarterback, came to Iowa as a quarterback, then moved into receiver and turned out to be the most productive wide receiver in the school's history. He's going to get a little bit of a tutelage here from Ronald Johnson first. And it's Brett Brackett. Here comes a connection of the U. Ja'Cory Harris to Chase Ford. Played together last season and the year before. Several players from the U on the Eagles roster right now. Chase Ford, Ja'Cory Harris, Greg Cooper, all three in attendance. And then you've got Antonio Dixon still on the roster at defensive tackle. I was talking to Brandon Washington, the fifth of the U guys, yesterday, the sixth-round pick guard, and he said that he was talking to Brandon Dixon before the draft and said that he would love to come to Philadelphia, and Dixon said it's a perfect place for him, and turns out it's where he ended up. He said he feels like home, except that his family's not here, is what he said, but he feels at home, he loves this organization, and he's a guy who we're going to keep an eye on.
Here You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go. Wow,
wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go. Nick, Jack, Daddy, you
have to give a dog. Here we go.
Thank you. Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Nobody fell down. You gotta love Tom Coughlin. Do you, however, love the team that he is putting together at this point? You think they're poised to repeat, maybe?
Well, that's two different questions. Yeah, Heath Evans, old fullback. It doesn't matter. I love Tom Coughlin. I love the discipline. I love the structure. I love what he does with his football team. But do I think they repeat? Professor Dukes, who you all saw a minute ago, he says they don't play well unless someone's getting fired. I agree with that. So let me go to the Eagles. There's this misconception where Juan Castillo last year, oh, this poor defensive coordinator, he's an O-line coach. Well, guess what, folks? They ended up with the eighth-ranked defense in our business. This offense for the Eagles, this is where the power pack punch comes from. You talk about Michael Vick. What the Giants do so well is rush the passer. Well, this man right here you're seeing on the screen, he neutralizes that pass rush because you don't ever know where he's going to be. And then you look at the balanced attack that they put on the field last year for Philadelphia. Andy Reid has been a pass-happy coach the majority of his head coaching career. This young man, LeSean McCoy, was a nightmare for defenders last year. It's only going to get worse. And again, let me go back to Professor Dukes. No one's getting fired at the Giants. They just won another Super Bowl. It's the Eagles' division.
So that's a no.
It's a no. Did I say no?
That's Heath Evans, it's by no. the way. Again, you guys know who he is.
So Heath Evans says the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East. Adam, do you agree with that?
No. Giants.
I agree, too. I agree with you. The Giants are the team to beat in the NFC East. The Giants are the Super Bowl champs. However, the Eagles 5-1 last year in the East. I like the way this team matches up at this point, Adam.
They match up better because I think depth is better at certain positions. And I think they're going to play their defense like they really wanted to play it last year but couldn't. I think the Eagles will be better defensively than they
How
have.
How will
in
the
past.
Defense look, Adam?
I think it's...
Aggressive blitzing,
not a lot
Jason
of blitzing.
Babin moving up and down the line of scrimmage.
Washburn is not the Washburn believes, based on his front, you don't have to blitz. Now, last year they had to because I think they were having problems on the back end. They were having to get upfield more. I don't think you're going to have to do it as much. And they're going to have a lot of versatility. They could do anything they want in nickel and dime. I mean, they're so Eagles are so deeper than they ever have under Andy Reid on the front four. I mean, you've got 11 guys. You and I just talked about this. You said 10. I agree with you. They're not going to carry 11. They're going to carry 10 guys.
Then who's the odd man out? I mean, injuries.
Tap.
Injuries.
We keep saying tap.
Yeah.
You know?
Offensively, it's amazing. You can speak about this Eagles team with such confidence offensively after you lose the best left tackle in the game.
I think he's going to surprise. I think Demetrius Bell's going to surprise.
I can tell you in conversations with coaches, they are very, very high on Demetrius Bell. We'll see how it works out. But in Howard Mudd, we trust.
Quarterback cannot turn the ball over 20 times.
Okay. So how do you minimize that, Adam?
How do you minimize it? It's real simple. Don't turn it over. Don't drop the football. Don't fumble it.
Well, that's it. That's coach
killer.
Speak. That's
good.
Do you run the football more? Do you have more three-step drops?
No, he's got to be. You know what? No. There are a couple things here. Blitz recognition is key. I would personally guarantee you four of those fumbles were not recognizing where guys were coming. You get that through learning your offense and being more comfortable with it. I think that's something that's going to be better with.
So with you having an off season with all the coaching staff, yes, that would be a big benefit for Michael Vick.
When is it? 06 is the last time he came into any off season as a starter and any real full off season. This is the first one in 6 years.
Who wins the job as the number two quarterback?
I know I'm in the minority. Trent Edwards. I am steadfast, like you were with Bryce Brown, but I'm being realistic here. Trent Edwards has starting experience. Bryce Brown's never been in the National Football League before. That's why I'm going to be right.
Okay. And who wins the job as the fourth and fifth wide receivers?
I think McNutt will wind up challenging Riley Cooper. That's as far as I could go now because it's way too early. I need more information on McNutt and kind of see how things are going to fit in. We know who the top two tight ends are.
I think there's a school of thought here that
they might bring somebody in.
That bracket will push
Clay Harbor. Well, I know you and I watched practice last year.
Brackett's very athletic guy.
That's what I wanted to get to. How many times did we watch practice and say, boy, he could really run. He's fluid. But can he block?
He's up to 250. All right, how many times does your tight end block these days?
They displace.
Yeah, but I think Harbor, yeah, they do. There's no doubt. But I think they displace the tight end.
He had to learn the hard way, and he's become a pretty good block.
Yeah. All right, 215-339-6709. We'll take a call or two before we wrap it up.
There's our Chase guy.
Yeah, Chase in Salt Lake City joins us. Hey, Chase.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, gentlemen.
You got it.
Listen, I'm interested in learning more about the depth offensive line.
Okay, so are we.
I noticed when I was watching the minicamp yesterday that we had a ton of players with potential there. Who do you see making the team, and do you envision any potential surprises?
Well, let's talk about from this camp, the players you have with a chance, as I see it, to make the team. Brandon Washington, the draft pick, sixth round pick.
He'll be a guard.
DJ Jones, a tackle who played in Baltimore last year. And who's the other offensive lineman drafted here? Oh, Kelly, yeah, of course.
I think he's more of a long shot. I think Dunlop's going to be the top
swing. I'm just not sure Kelly is athletic enough to play tackle. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. The coaches think he is. But
I don't
thing.
Know.
He has a lot to learn technique-wise.
He's 6'8", 3'21".
I think you called it. He has a lot to learn with technique.
Thanks, Adam.
He is a big dude, though, man. Holy smokes. King Dunlop is listed as 6'9". This kid's every bit of 6'8".
But they also brought in Steve Vallos, who's played in the league. They brought in Mike Gibson, who's played in the league for interior backups. Jones has a teeny bit of experience. I guess I would tell you that I'm a little bit more concerned with backup tackles than I am backup guard and center.
I think DJ Jones is the guy who's going to be the other. They're going to be two backup tackles. I think it's going to be, of course, Dunlop, and I think Jones will win it. This is my early prediction. We haven't been to it with the veterans yet, but
we appreciate we appreciate the call and the question about backup offensive linemen, because I don't know if anybody really cares, but thank you.
No, but Vallos and Gibson are going to be
Thanks for the call.
No, but Vallos and Gibson are your two guys you're expecting to be the top two backup interior linemen.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, we thank you for coming in today.
Sure.
Great stuff. Great stuff to our staff, and thanks for joining us. No Eagles Live. Well, there won't